Welcome to Medieval Murder, the podcast that brings all things gruesome and historical to the comfort of your own home or car or wherever it is you're listening from. My name is Hannah Purdyman, and I'm here with my father, Kevin Purdyman.
Hello.
To discuss some of the most famous and infamous murders that took place in the medieval and early modern period. Medieval Murder came to be first as a blog, then as an Instagram, and now as a podcast after I finished my master's dissertation on homicide in early medieval England. The podcast will feature some of the most famous murders in medieval history, some mini-episode series on different types of medieval murders, and interviews with historians and history enthusiasts alike. Do you like to shimmy? Do you like to boogie? Do you like to dance? If you don't, then today's episode may not be for you, because today we are jumping in and talking about something that may become the thing you fear the most. The Dancing Plague of 1518.
The what?
The Dancing Plague of 1518.
Ooh, okay. Sounds interesting.
Yeah. So, in July of 1518 in Strasbourg, Alsace, now Strasbourg, France, a woman named Frau Trophia stepped outside of her house and began to dance. As far as we know, there was no music playing, and Frau Trophia did not seem to be enjoying herself, but she just kept dancing. She continued to dance until day became night, and she finally collapsed, exhausted. She slept for a few hours, and then when she awoke, she continued dancing as if she had never stopped. Again, she danced throughout the day and into the night until she collapsed into sleep. By the morning of the third day, Frau Trophia was sore, her feet were bruised, if not bloody, and you can assume the last thing she wanted to do was dance. But dance she did. It was on this day that word had spread of this strange dancing woman, and people began to gather to watch her jig. The crowd began murmuring to each other and guessing what was causing this woman to dance until her feet bled. Some people believed the restless spirits had inhabited her body and were forcing her to dance. Others believed that she had sinned so greatly that the devil was able to exert his power on her and force her to dance. Frau Trophia danced for almost a week, until a group of onlookers supposedly put her into a wagon and took her up into the Vosges Mountains, where there was some sort of shrine. And that, unfortunately, is where Frau Trophia's story ends. I could not find any sources that had any more information about her other than she was taken to this shrine. The shrine was possibly dedicated to St. Vitus, who is the patron saint of dancers and entertainers. But honestly, that seems a little too convenient to me to have that shrine so nearby. However, by the time Frau Trophia is taken away, it's already too late. The dancing plague has spread. Within a few days, more than 30 other people had begun to dance in the streets of Strasbourg. Every day, more people join the epidemic without explanation and without the ability to stop, other than from pure exhaustion. By August, almost 400 people had become victims of the dancing plague. Some chronicles from around this time stated that as the epidemic gained traction, people began to fall dead from exhaustion, heat stroke, and dehydration, with one chronicle stating that up to 15 people were dying a day from the dancing plague.
Wait.
However, whether this is true or not is up for debate.
What chronicle did you get this out of?
There is a book that was published called The Dancing Plague of 1518. So I was reading that, and they referenced several different chronicles from the time.
Interesting. And how long did this go on?
About a month.
And it's August, he said. Did you say August?
Yeah, so it basically went from sometime in July to the beginning of September. So a little over a month, possibly.
And do we know, was it like only the people of Strasbourg that did it?
So we will continue and see.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. But by September, the dancing plague began to subside, and the survivors were sent to pray at the shrine of St. Vitus for absolution for their sins. So, interestingly, this was not the only time a so-called dancing plague occurred during the Middle Ages.
What? Okay.
The first time a dancing epidemic was recorded was in 1017 in the Saxon town Kolbeck, when a group of people were found dancing in a graveyard. A local priest was offended by the act and cursed them to dance for an entire year. However, I don't know if they actually danced for an entire year. I'm not sure if this actually happened, but it was recorded in a chronicle that there was this so-called dancing epidemic in 1017.
That seems kind of, so there's people dancing in the graveyard, a priest gets mad and then curses them? That doesn't seem very priestly to me. You know, it seemed like he would ask them to, you know, pray for absolution for their sins or pray to God for help, not curse them.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if this really, you know, yeah, why would a priest be cursing people? That seems, yeah. But the next recorded dancing epidemic was written in a Welsh chronicle by Giraldus Cambrensis. According to the chronicle, in South Wales in 1118, there was an annual religious ceremony or celebration which was held in St. Almeda's Church, during which people would dance and sing in the churchyard until they fell to the ground. And then they would actually begin acting out their sins.
Oh. That could be interesting.
So it wasn't necessarily an epidemic, but it was just like part of this religious ceremony almost.
Was it? So do you think it was part of the ceremony? So if you wanted absolution, you had to act out your sins and they were doing it purposefully?
I don't know if it was that or if it, I mean, it could have been that or it could have been like they start dancing and singing and then maybe they kind of a hysteria takes over where they, you know, get taken into this situation.
Right. But there was no, like, disease associated with this or anything like that?
I don't know. It just has been compared to the dancing epidemic.
Okay.
Yeah. But one that is an epidemic almost, like, kind of comparable, was in a German chronicle from 1247. It was stated that in the town of Erfurt, suddenly one day, over 100 of the town's children began to dance and hop around the town, even exiting the town's gate. They danced to the outskirts of the next town, where they finally collapsed and fell asleep in the streets and next to the town walls. Their parents went after them, and by the time they found them, some of the children had died of exhaustion and dehydration. This case sounds very similar to the dancing plague of 1518, where all of a sudden, you know,
everybody just starts
dancing. And, you know, their children, it could be something else, but to dance, you know, probably miles and miles to the next town is a little weird.
That is strange. It's weird. It's strange. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a weird concept for sure. So now that we've listed some of the other potential dancing plagues, let's go back to the dancing plague of 1518 and what had could have led up to it or even caused it. The years leading up to Frau Trafia's dance that launched an epidemic were filled with hunger and disease. Exhaustion, stress, and sickness could have contributed to the affliction that overtook Strasbourg in 1518. And there's a lot of theories, there's a lot of controversy around this, because it could be, you know, word of mouth is a big way to spread news, but the fact that this was written in multiple chronicles from the period is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the time leading up to it. You're talking about the events leading up to the plague or the dancing bust-a-move. Well, you know, you gotta wonder, you know, you said that there was some sickness, not good food. You know, maybe they had depleted some of the stores they needed to make their body function, and they were missing a certain something, or they were eating something that was actually bad for them and affected their brain chemistry. You know, and they just couldn't stop, you know.
See, and that's one of the modern theories, is that it could have been a type of food poisoning. It could be that they got a hold of the ergot fungi. It could kind of psychoactive. So it could have been some type of weird, like, LSD type trip that the whole town went on.
Well, it could be. Well, I wonder if they were searching for truffles and found the wrong ones.
That could be too. Who knows? You know, Germany and France are truffle heavy.
Right. So do we know? Do you have any idea, like, how... I know you're not an expert in the diet of medieval times, but how prominent mushrooms played in that?
That would be a very interesting thing to look into. I don't know. That's something I definitely want to look into in the future,
because I
really don't know.
You know, because I've run into people. Well, I know my brother and his wife. They go looking for mushrooms in the wild. I've run into a couple of veterinarians that go and hunt mushrooms in the wild and make a lot of stuff with it. So I know that, you know, like today there's people into that, but, you know, looking for the edible mushrooms, not the edible mushrooms, if you know what I mean. But, and so, yeah, I would wonder, you know, because they were more foragers, you know, farmers, foragers, hunters, you know, that's where, you know, they weren't as go get a bag of Cheetos as we are today, you know,
yeah,
or, you know, get something to someone else. So maybe they got into something kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, and there is some differences in the different chronicle accounts. So one will state, you know, 50 people were affected by the dancing epidemic. Other chronicles say 400. So it just, you know, word of mouth. But I think it is, I think it could be possible that like 50 people got into, you know, they start selling something at the market.
Right. Yeah. And then how many... Do you have an idea, like, how many people were probably living in Strasbourg, how big the town was at that time?
You know, I don't know. I would assume, because this is 1518, so it's a bigger town at this point.
Right.
So I would probably say several thousand.
Okay, so it's not just a little village.
No, it's not really a little bit a village. One of the other possibilities is, you know, they had several years of famine, several years of disease, and, you know, 1518 is probably not a year you really want to be living in, just based on
everything level
of
health
and threats and that kind of stuff. So it could also be a type of stress-induced mass hysteria. That could also be something. That, you know, maybe Frau Trofia was so exhausted that she had a little bit of a mental break. And
yeah, I mean,
started dancing.
Yeah, I think that's possible if the conditions were so bad. I mean, what kind of takes it away from that would be, you know, even if it was 50 people, it seems odd that they would all have it right around the same time, that they'd all break down at the same time.
Yeah, but there's also, you know, when you're looking at mass hysteria, one woman starts doing this, it gathers, because people were watching her, or people from all over town were watching her dance for 6 days.
Or you know, maybe people, they're like, oh. People came to see her dance, too.
Yeah, and maybe they're like, well, she got the attention, maybe, you know. Ideas can travel and influence people.
Right, and what shrine did they take her to? Again,
Saint Vitus, the patron saint of dancing, which just seems so convenient that there's one so nearby. Well, which maybe there was. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not great on a lot of my history, but Strasbourg Saint wasn't. One of the huge composers did stuff there. Strasbourg,
like, tell you,
like Beethoven, or you know,
maybe you know. Yeah. I after about 1700, I don't have a lot of.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering if like music was a thing there. Music. And
I mean,
dancing.
I'm sure they had music. They definitely had music. I don't think. You know, well, according to the Chronicle, music was not playing.
Yeah, well, I was kind of thinking in the vein that, you know, okay, so Detroit makes cars, you know, so maybe Strasbourg was like a music center and they were really into music. I don't know. I mean, now we're really in the world of speculation here. I was better with the mushrooms, man.
You know. Yeah, so that's kind of something. I think it's unfortunate that no more information about Frau Trophia herself exists. You know, they took her to the shrine and that was it. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know if she died. We don't know if she was healed. We don't know if her husband was really upset and killed her. Like, I don't know.
Well, we don't know. It would be interesting to know what her background was. Was she well-to-do? Was she, you know, a lady that ran a stall in the market? Was she, you know...
Maybe she was selling mushrooms.
Correct. You know, or maybe, you know, or was she really affected by the famine? You know, not as well-to-do. You know, just kind of who she was.
Yeah. So if anybody would like to look into this further, because it's such an odd thing that has happened in history, there are a couple of books that you can look into. The Dancing Plague is the one that I read, The Dancing Plague by John Waller. There's also one entitled, I think he also wrote another one, or maybe it's an updated copy, called A Time to Dance. A Time to Dance, A Time to Die, also by John Waller.
Interesting. But yeah. Have you run across anything that you're looking at that's kind of bizarre like this? You know.
What do you mean?
Well, like, is there other things out there, like the fishing plague, where people just fished until they died, or, you know.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's something to look into. I don't know if there's... I'm sure there are other weird events, but this is the main one.
Yeah, and what makes it odd, too, is, you know, it's dancing. Like, you know, I said, like, I kind of, like, said the fishing plague, I think the farming plague, you know, different things they'd be doing at the time. But, you know, people probably did die doing that stuff, but not like this. This just seems odd, you know.
So thank you for listening to Medieval Murder. If you have any listener questions, comments, or topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via our Instagram account at Medieval Murder, or via email at info.medievalmurder@gmail.com. Also, check out our merch available on our website, medievalmurder.org. Tune in later for our next podcast. Thank you.